Turn to the book of Mark. We've been in the book of Mark now for, this is our sixth week as we've studied in the book of Mark. Mark was written as the very first gospel of the four gospels that we know was really written to the Romans and the Greek audience. And so it's really a way of presenting of who Jesus is, a very straightforward way that's very easy to understand. Now today we're going to dive into a subject I think that some of us can either be excited about or maybe we may be a little bit afraid of. And I've been waiting to get to this particular chapter in the book of Mark because Jesus now, he's just a few hours before he's about to go to the cross, he begins to have a very intimate conversation. Many times you'll see Jesus standing before the crowds, preaching and teaching the crowds. And we've read some of those stories of how he's done great miracles. And then there are times when he would teach the crowd and then he'd take his disciples and he'd pull them aside and say, "This is the meaning of what I have just said." And he would share with them some of the meanings of the teachings that he was presenting to the crowds. Well, here's a moment now. They're back in Jerusalem for the Passover. The Passover is just right around the corner. And now Jesus finds himself having a conversation with his disciples, his inner circle, those who have been the closest to him. So today, Jesus tackles this topic about the end times, right? Eschatology. Eschatology is basically the study of the end times, what's to come. Now, I know many of you have asked me many, many times, "Pastor, what do you believe about the end times? What do you think? Are we pre, mid, post? What's the church going to go through? What's it going to look like? What's the magic formula? Is there a code in the Bible that tells me when Jesus is coming back? Can I expect him when he's coming? And can I make myself ready?" And many times when we begin to talk about the subject, sometimes it brings out fear. How many of you read a book about the end times or actually got into Revelations and began to read it and actually had a little bit of fear? All right, how many of you fear our election coming up? Yeah, more. Okay, all right, easy now. God's in control. All right? God's in control. Well, Jesus tackles this subject with his disciples. And the title of the message today is simply, "Jesus is the Hope for the Future." And when Jesus begins to have this conversation with his disciples, it's not for the purpose of instilling fear, but to give them hope. We need hope. In our day, in our world today, we need hope more than ever. Many of the songs we sang this morning had the word hope in it. And our political climate, as we look at what is ahead in front of us, the corruption that is actually in the governmental system is really a mirror of what was happening at the temple when Jesus had just left the temple. We talked about it. The enemy has not changed. He still wants to get a hold of the leaders, corrupt the leaders, therefore it will trickle down and try to bring corruption to you and me. So more than ever now, we need to pray and believe and have what? Hope. So most of the time when we talk about the end times or we talk about the end of the world, it's usually scary, it's usually ominous, serious. But the truth is, Jesus talks about this topic for the purpose of giving us hope, to stir up deep within us the strength, to cause us to be courageous and have great faith. So before we dive into reading this passage together, let me just point out a few things. As Jesus begins to have this conversation now, he's beginning to talk about the future. He's talking about two types of future. He's talking about one future that's about to come because the book of Mark was written about 60 AD. It was written about 10 years before a great tragedy had come to Jerusalem. In 70 AD, many of us, if you know history or have read the Bible, know that the Romans came back into Jerusalem and they completely destroyed the temple. And Jesus talks a little bit about what happened. Is they destroyed the temple, they burned it down, they killed many, many people. It was a devastation. Jesus talks about that, but he also refers to, and he talks about things to come, the end of time. And so he goes kind of back and forth as he's having these conversations with his disciples. It's also important for us to know that Mark was the first of the Gospels that was written. Now, Mark's gospel was written before the destruction of the temple. The other gospels were written afterwards. So Mark really is the gospel that is the truth of predicting, foretelling the things to come. Are you with me so far? All right. If you get lost, you say, I'm lost, Pastor, and I'll back up a little bit. All right. So you with me? All right. So it's really a prophetic. Mark is the real true prophetic gospel. So here's a question. We'll start this today and we'll finish it up a little bit next week. But here's a question that I think many of us ask. What do we as the church believe about the end times? Not necessarily us as Life Church, but the church in general across the world. What do we believe about the end times? Well, it's very clear because it's written in the Nicene Creed. How many of you know the Nicene Creed? It was established. This creed was established by our early church fathers so that we universally have an idea and know what we believe, and we can state what we believe. And look at these words. It says from the Nicene Creed, is he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. And later on, the last several lines says, we look for the what? The resurrection of the dead and what? The life of the world to come. That is a statement of hope. And that has been taught throughout the church for the last 2,000 years. The problem today is a lot of teachings about the end times causes people to be fearful and afraid. Now let me just share with you this morning. Let me sidetrack for a second. There are tons of teachers on television. There are tons of teachers on the radio. There are tons of books and movies and YouTubes out there that tries to talk about the end times, what is to come. And if any of those teachings that you're hearing or any of those books that you're hearing is meant to instill fear into you, I think you may to check, you might be wasting your time reading them. Because nowhere does Jesus at any moment as he talks himself, the one who stood upon the Mount of Olives, who will come back and land his feet upon the Mount of Olives, nowhere does he talk about fear. He talks about hope. Do not, church, waste your time trying to look and find some code, some idea, some revelation about when Jesus is coming back again and live in fear for that day. Are we going to find troubles in our life? Absolutely. Nowhere in the Word does it say we will escape all the troubles of the world as the church. But I want you to know when we talk about the end times, when we talk about eschatology, when we talk about Jesus coming back, we need to talk about it, pray about it, discuss it, read it, study it with an idea of hope, knowing that when he comes back, he is going to make all things right. Amen. The enemy's already been defeated, and he knows it. So let's read this. I was going to read through it and then kind of talk about it. But let me just kind of go through it real quick this morning. If you just grant me maybe 10 extra minutes this morning, would you do that? Amen. Just grant me about 10 more minutes extra this morning. Mark chapter 13, verse 3. It says, and Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Where was Jesus sitting when he had these conversations with his disciples? Where? On the Mount of Olives. Now, there's a few pictures here. Show a couple of these pictures. I have this. So here, just one kind of picture. Looking down, this would have been sort of a picture. Go back to the other one. Of maybe where he's looking down across the Kidron Valley, looking at the temple. Go to the next one. Here's a picture from the Mount of Olives, looking across the valley to the Temple Mount. And if you see over here, there's a gate. You see this gate over here? It's called the Eastern Gate. It's closed. It's not open. There are 12 gates that surround the city of Jerusalem. And the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate is the gate today that has been shut. It's only going to be opened when? When Jesus returns. This word says that he will return again. He will place his foot upon the Mount of Olives and he will go across the valley. He will open up the gate that has been locked and the gate has been closed. He will go into the temple, establish his kingdom and make all things right. There is hope in the prophecy of Jesus returning. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So here he is. Now think about this. Now here Jesus is. He's talking to his disciples. He's having a conversation and he's sitting on the very place that one day the Messiah will return. One day Jewish history teaches the Messiah will come and he will come here. But I think the disciples are many times like us as Americans, right? We want to know what, when, how, when it's going to happen, what it's going to look like. I need to set my alarm so I can wake up 5 minutes before it happens. So look who is with him. Who is with Jesus? It mentions these. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him. These are the disciples that are with him right now. Who we've heard these names throughout the gospel, right? We hear the name Peter. Peter, right? The father of the church. He's the church. He got Jesus. I'm going to build my church upon you, Peter. John, the one whom he loved. James and Andrew, these are the ones that were really close to Jesus, that spent probably the most time with him, traveled with him everywhere. These were the ones closest to the Messiah, closest to the Son of God. And listen to what they say. They asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? He had just foretold of the temple being destroyed. He just foretold of it being rebuilt. He's given them a glimpse into the future. And what is their question? Just like us. Okay, Jesus, let me have a conversation with you. Let me talk to you privately. Hey, pastor, can I talk to you outside for a second? When do you think Jesus is coming back? When do you think it's going to happen? These guys are no different than us. They could be sitting right here among us. When will it happen? What is the code, Jesus? What's the code? What's the date and time? And what will the sign be when all these things are about to be fulfilled? And here's the question I believe that they were asking. Tell us when this will happen with plenty of warning. That's us. We want plenty of warning. But how did Jesus answer the question? What did he say? Look at the first thing that Jesus says to them in verse 5. When asked, when will these things happen? When is this coming? What are the signs, Jesus, that we will know? Jesus says this to them. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. If Peter, if James, if John and Andrew could have possibly somehow been deceived, could you not say that maybe, possibly, we today as a church might be deceived? If I get some of these and some of these, and I don't know. Pastor, I'm pretty smart. I don't get deceived. So let me ask it this way. If the four guys that we just talked about, the apostles who were with Jesus, who saw, listen, they saw with their eyes the miracles of Jesus Christ. Peter even says to Jesus, he goes, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, only the Father in heaven could have told you this. He knew by the Holy Spirit that Jesus was the Messiah, right? But still he asked the question, give me a sign. What's it going to be? And Jesus says, even you might be deceived. He says, many, not a handful, not a few, not a select group, but many will come in my name. In other words, they will have Jesus bumper stickers on their cars. They'll have what would Jesus do bracelets on their arms. They'll talk to Christianese, right? They'll publish a couple of books talking about some good things that make us feel real good on the inside about ourselves. Not necessarily the truth, but I feel good today because I heard this book, heard this message. It says, they will come in my name. They will look like, with the eyes, they will look like a follower of Jesus, but do not be deceived. This time we as a church wake up. This time we as a church wake up and begin to see the truth, and be not deceived by the enemy of what may look right, but begin to pray and ask God for discernment and ask God for wisdom. Claiming or saying that I am He, and He will deceive many. And here's my point. Jesus said that as you dive into this topic, as you talk about this, be very aware you could be chasing after the wrong information. And when you hear, here's his answer now, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. In other words, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't panic. Because we hear bad news. What's the first thing we do? When we hear bad news, the first thing we do is fear sets in and we get afraid. All of a sudden we hear of an earthquake somewhere. Oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Am I ready? I don't know. It's got to be. It's another earthquake. Jesus is going to go. Oh, he's coming back now. That's a sure sign. And we get fearful, become afraid. He says, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be afraid. Do not panic. Such things will take place. So let me ask you a question this morning. Just on the first few things that Jesus has told us on the last days, does it appear to you, my fellow Americans, I'm not running for office, by the way, my fellow Americans, that we're going to completely get out of difficult times? No. We're not. We're not going to escape difficult times. Jesus said to his disciples, the ones who established the church in the very first century, you will be deceived. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, in other words, bad things are going to happen. You've heard me say this many times. We live in a world where bad things happen to good people. Do not let it shake your faith. Know what you stand upon. Know who your God is. Know that when you get the report that you've only got months to live, you can say this: I know I may only have a few months to live according to the doctor, but I'm going to have faith and I'm going to believe that he is going to heal my body because my work is not done. But for some reason, if he decides that I'm done here, heaven is not just a consolation prize. Heaven is the prize, and there is my healing. And when we begin to walk by that kind of faith, knowing that the stone that we stand upon is the cornerstone, we know that that gives us the faith to make it through the difficult, troubling times that Jesus says you're going to have. We're going to have them. So bad news shouldn't surprise us. He said, but the end is not yet come, for nations will rise against nation. Do we see that in our world today? Absolutely. He says the kingdoms against kingdoms. Do we see that in our world today? Absolutely. There will be earthquakes more today than ever in various places. There will be famines across the world. There are famines. These are but the beginning. Listen now, these are but the beginning of the birth pains. I love the language that Jesus uses here. Birth pains. Ladies, mothers, when you're going through birth, what sustains you through the horrible pains that I can only hear about, that I don't actually know about myself? I just want to make that very clear. I don't know how it feels. If I get a splinter in my finger, I think, oh, I'm having a baby. No, I know I'm not. I wake up, my back is stiff. I'm like, oh, my back is stiff. I know what it means to have a baby. I know. No. But what sustains a mother through childbirth? What sustains her and gives her strength to keep moving on through that process? What is it? It's the hopes and joys of knowing that a baby is going to be born. That's what gets them through it. At least that's the only thing I can figure out. I mean, Jesus is saying it right here. He's saying it's like birth pains. Because you know that the hope and the joy of what is to come, and that's what Jesus is saying. All these bad things are going to happen. You're going to go through some difficult times, church. You're going to face some troubles, but have hope. Just like a mother when she gives birth is sustained through that, knowing that the hope of a child is to be born, she's going to find great joy. Have joy, have hope in what you hear. That's what I believe about the end times. Many I've heard people say before, well, I know church is being persecuted. The church in America is being persecuted. No, we're not. The church in the United States of America is not being persecuted. The Christians and followers of Christ in other nations, especially in the Middle East, are being persecuted. Their heads are being cut off. Do you understand? That's persecution. What's happening to us in America is the church in America is being pressured. We're being pressured right now, but we're not being persecuted. The church in the world is being persecuted. How's it feel? We are the Christians today in America are kind of the minority. We don't like that feeling, do we? We don't like being the minority in our nation. We're being pressured. How do we stand against the pressure? We stand upon the truth that we get busy working. If we see a problem in our nation, get busy and try to fix it. Start with prayer, then get action to your feet. I think if more of us as believers in Christ will begin to stand up and make our voice known and our voice heard, don't be afraid to preach the truth in the churches. It breaks my heart when I hear pastors stand in front of large churches and do not speak the truth. People are being deceived. We need to hear the truth of who God is, who we are, who He's called us to be, how we can be overcomers. Hear the truth. Be encouraged. Build your faith and have hope. In the times of trouble, He will come back. We're not being persecuted. We're being pressured. Could that lead to persecution? Absolutely. But here is the hope. In verse 13, he says, you're going to be hated for my name. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Do you find hope in that? Those are the words of Jesus Christ. I find great hope in that statement. In other words, this is the statement that I believe. We are not saved from difficult times. We are saved in difficult times. Psalms 23, we read that scripture. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It did not say that, oh, I may not walk through it. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have what? No fear. Why? Because the one who saves, the one who sets free, the one who my feet is standing upon, the foundation of the truth, God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, He is the one that will help me get through. Because if I keep my trust in Him and I'm not ashamed of my Lord and my Savior, when the end times come, when times get tough, it says, I will be saved. You will be saved. The church will be saved. Our nation will be saved. Amen. Let those words sink in this morning. You know, I learned more about Jesus during the darkest days of my life than any other times in my life. How many of you, is that a true statement for you? Right? Why, God? Why am I going through what I'm going through right now, Lord? We have this conversation with my boys, my teenage boys. We talk about this. Why am I going through what I'm going through right now? So you can draw closer to Jesus Christ. Why am I facing this situation? I didn't ask for this, God. I didn't ask for this to come upon me. Draw closer to Jesus Christ. It's in those darkest moments in the church. It's in those darkest moments as believers in Christ that we find and find ourselves closest to Jesus. Now listen real quick what's about to happen. All right? Because Jesus says, those who endure to the end. Several hours after this conversation, Jesus goes back to the Mount of Olives and he goes down to the Garden of Gethsemane. He begins to pray. He prayed an agonizing prayer. Go back and read that prayer. He's there in that garden. He's praying. He even, now listen, the Son of God who left heaven to come to earth, who knows the glory of God, who knows the glory of heaven, who chose to come. He's there on his knees and he's crying out to God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He knew the pain that was coming. He knew the suffering that was coming. And before he went to pray that prayer, he left his disciples there. He said, listen, pray. Don't fall asleep. Don't pray so that temptation will not come upon you. This is the words that Jesus says. Then he goes and he prays. When he comes back, what did he find? He found them asleep. And I believe that these words, that is a warning to us as the church, do not fall asleep. Because we are at that moment. We're at those last hours. Just as Jesus Christ at the last hours of his life upon this earth. We as a church, we're at the last hours of our time upon this earth. Jesus is coming soon. But he says, let me warn you. Endure to the end. Remain unto the end. Do not fall asleep because you will fall into temptation. Let's not be tempted. Let's not fall into temptation. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Let me close with this. James chapter 5, verse 7. Jonathan, you can come. It says this. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it. Until it receives the early and the late rains, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do you find hope in that? Church, I find great hope. Listen, I've read the books. I've listened. I have probably read 20 books on the end times. And there are some great authors out there who are writing some great books. But let me tell you this truth. no one, and we're going to talk about this more next week, dive a little deeper, no one except the Father knows of the time or the hour when Jesus will return. And if your focus, if everything that is in you, if your focus, your attention, your energy is put into trying to figure out and read the books to figure out when Jesus is coming, you are wasting your time. Excuse me. We need to be prepared no matter when it happens. Let me tell you how to better use your time. Because, Pastor, you kind of rough on me today. It's okay. I can do that sometimes. That's my job. Sometimes to bring a little reproof, right? Don't waste your time trying to figure it out. Here's how you can spend your time better. You pray this prayer. God, what are you doing in my life today? And how can I cooperate with you? Pray about today. God, what are you doing in this church today, this week, this month, this year? How can I, the man you've placed as a shepherd in this church, cooperate with you and listen to you, be obedient to you, and follow the way you're leading? How can I do that? That's a much better way for you to spend your time. Because you won't be chasing after the wrong information. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to find joy because God's beginning to show you things. God's beginning to make you aware of those around you. He's beginning to show you the needs and ways to pray, how to bless someone. Next thing you know, you built with courage. Now you're out in your community sharing the love of Jesus Christ. I know many of you I've talked to who get out in the morning to walk in their community, and God purposely put someone in your life for you to have a conversation with. Don't be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow. Be concerned about what God's doing in your life today. Amen. So Jesus is coming back. Would you stand with me? As you stand these words today, stand firm, be faithful, and do not give up hope. Can you say that with me? Say, do not give up hope. Say it again, do not give up hope. Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you for everything you're doing. Lord, you're in control. You're in charge. Lord, this is your church. We are your servants. We are your children, we are your sons and your daughters, adopted into the family. Lord, help us not to be afraid when we read in your word about when you're going to come and all the things that are going to happen. God, we know that difficult times are coming. We know that, but God, you will give us the strength to stand firm and work ourselves through the difficult times. And it's in those difficult times, God, that we draw ourselves closer to you. And I pray, God, that we have hope for what is to come, faith to stand where we are today. And I pray, God, you put that upon all of our hearts and to help us not be afraid, to not fear, God, but have hope. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I just want to end with this as a benediction today from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says this, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. It is God that makes us stand firm. He anointed us. He anointed you. He anointed you. He has anointed you to stand firm. He has anointed us, set his seal of ownership upon us. Do you understand what that means? He owns you. He is your Father. He's had you stand firm. He says, I put my seal upon you. The seal of God Almighty, the seal of the one who created everything, I put my seal of ownership upon you. And he has put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. What is to come. Will you receive that this morning as a prayer over you? Amen. Amen.